You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily podcast on the Toronto Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to Locked On Blue Jays, your daily dose of Toronto Blue Jays talk directly into your headspace. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Andrews from JaysFromTheCouch.com. Back for another week of kind of Blue Jays talk. We're not specifically going to talk about the Blue Jays because the Blue Jays aren't doing anything to talk about. Obviously not able to go to Winterfest in Toronto, although I've seen some of the photos and stuff from that. Looks like a great time. I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. We will have our continuation of the series of interviews from Winterfest in Halifax. Going to double pump today. Going to give you both Ryan Borucki and Danny Jansen. Both their interviews will come in the third segment of the podcast. But the big news from yesterday and the news we're going to talk about today is the Hall of Fame selection. And there are some Blue Jays involved, so we get to talk about some Blue Jays. And we're going to discuss what the odds are for some of the Blue Jays that will remain on the ballot and some Canadian content because, you know, Canadian here. But we'll begin with the four players that got into the Hall of Fame. And if you listen to my appearance this week on Jays from the Couch Radio, first of all, I am sorry. My Wi-Fi is crap. Thanks for that, Bell. Maybe get a better router in here or something. It was terrible. I apologize to everyone who had to listen to that. And I had some really good stuff that got cut out because of the Wi-Fi. So, again, I am very sorry about that. But, yeah, we talked about how it is getting a little stupid with the likes of Harold Baines getting in there. And it's actually a really good conversation, so I do encourage you all to go listen to it. Me and Sean just talking about some of the silly things that are going on around baseball. But, again, four players got in. One of them holds big significance to Blue Jays fans, of course, with Roy Halladay, the legend that he was, going in on the first ballot, sadly not able to see this day, obviously with the tragic passing a little over a year ago when his plane crashed in Florida. But Halladay is going to be, you know, he's the last real icon that the Blue Jays had that you're like, okay, you associate the Blue Jays with him as opposed to a lot of the other guys. Some of the other guys we're going to talk about in the second half as well. But Halladay was the Blue Jays for the 2000s. Like, from when he really established himself in 2001, straight through to the 2009 season before he got traded to Philadelphia. Just, he personified what the Blue Jays were. They were never going to back down. They were going to go out there every day. They were going to work and he always went out there to give his team the best. Like, he's exactly the kind of person you want a ball player to emulate. Just going out there, persevering through the tough times, working through his problems, figuring out solutions for himself, and just going out there every day with that battling mentality that I think endeared himself and essentially made Roy Halladay an honorary Canadian, which, you know, that's a title that doesn't get bestowed often when it comes to the Blue Jays. I think I can name them off of my hand, the players who have gotten that distinction. Jose Bautista, obviously, is one of them. I make a case for Carlos Delgado. I don't know if I make a case for anyone else from that team, but that's just how rare it is to be fully accepted by the community and be thought of as one of their own. And Roy Halladay was that, just for what he was able to do going out there. Big part of my childhood growing up and watching the Blue Jays was seeing Roy Halladay out there and knowing that, okay, there's a chance we're going to win because Doc's on the mound. Doc's going to go out there and, you know, be that guy for the Blue Jays. And whenever I had a chance to play with him in MVP baseball, I'd use him. I'd have all five of his pitches going, and I'd use that to get the Blue Jays the World Series rings that, Doc himself deserved, but never got a chance to really compete for. And again, it is bittersweet that he's not around to see this, but I think Halladay getting in on the first ballot like this kind of justifies what he was, both on and off the field. On the field, again, tireless, persevered, worked hard, and off the field, so generous with his time, was willing to give advice to anyone who would ask for it, was able to, put his family first, and that's why his kids, Braden and Ryan, are in a position to maintain his legacy at a major league level. And you look at the statement that his wife put out, his wife Brandy put out a statement through the Phillies, which, I mean, I would have preferred it go through the Blue Jays, but you know who you know. But when you look at the statement that she put out, and again, made those same kind of points, like his goal was to be successful every day of his career and to kind of inspire that efforts to just accept that honor. It again, it's really sad that he's not able to see the fruits of his labor, but I think everyone will carry that with him in their memories of Roy Halladay, in what he was able to do on the field. And again, I personally would like to see him go in as a Blue Jay. I think he spent the majority of his time there. I know probably his best performance single game came in Philadelphia, but I will always associate Roy Halladay with the Blue Jays, and I think a lot of people will too. So I hope he goes in like that. He's joined by three others, a couple who are very familiar to people in the AL East. Mariano Rivera, the first ever unanimous Hall of Famer. It's a well-deserved honor. When me and Sean were talking about this on Jays from the Couch Radio, we use that kind of barometer of fearfulness. Like how much did I not want to see this guy in the game against my team? How much fear did I have when this player came up? And Mariano Rivera was one of the most consistent scaremongers in baseball. Whenever you heard the Metallica blaring over the PA system, it's just that dread that, oh no, that here it comes. And you're going to have to go and try and face that cutter that maintained its effectiveness right through to the end of his career. Even after he blew out his knee taking batting practice, he had 652 career saves. His career ERA is 2.21, and that's inflated by his first season in 95 when he was actually a starter for a good chunk of it. So just it's insane what he was able to do and able to do consistently. Yeah, if you take out the ERA from his first season and factor it out, over 18 years as a reliever, he had a career ERA of 2.02. That is insane. That he deserved to be marked on every ballot. If anyone left him off just because he's going to get in anyway, you absolutely deserve to have your right to vote taken away. So very pleased that he is in there unanimously. It's about time someone did that, so we can just ignore this whole Babe Ruth didn't get unanimous. Like, shut up. That's not a valid point. That just because someone else didn't get it doesn't mean he didn't deserve it. Shut your mouth. Just vote properly. Don't get all sanctimonious with it. And in addition to those two, a couple of guys who waited for their shot to get in finally got in. Edgar Martinez, on his final chance, got voted in on the same number of ballots as Halladay, about 85%. One of the premier designated hitters, one of the first to really make that position acceptable. Batted 312, career on base of 418, career slugging of 515. Those are ridiculous numbers that Very few players have actually matched. A couple of them on the ballot who we'll talk about later who did not get in. But yeah, for what he did to revolutionize that position and make it acceptable to have that position, it makes sense. He should technically be the first designated hitter to get in, but Harold Baines goes and ruins everything because that's what he does. Also, Mike Mussina, longtime AL East pitcher with Baltimore, New York, he got in with just getting over the line, 76% of the votes. Another workhorse pitcher, the likes of which is, you don't really see nowadays, but he's so consistent. The last player since Sandy Koufax to retire after posting 20 wins in a season, which, you know, he was a model of consistency, never finished below 10 wins in a full season that he pitched. So for that kind of consistency, for what he was able to do, I think Mussina should have been in, so I'm glad to see him get in as well. We will talk about some of the players who didn't get in right after this break. All right, so from a Blue Jays perspective, there are some Blue Jays who did not get in, obviously, but will be kicking around. We'll start with the big name, the big Balco names, I guess. Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds are forever tied. They're still under 60%, and that 60% seems to be like the threshold. People think, okay, once you get that number, then you'll get in. So it's a very small jump for them this season. Maybe they're not able to turn as many minds as they once did. So, we talked about this on Jays for the Couch Radio. I would put them in, but you have to put them in the context of why they're notable. So maybe a different color plaque or something like that to explain what they did and, you know, the era they did it in. But I would have that kind of definition with them. I would still put them in for what they did in that era. Just you do have to make that mark. And I know Roy Halladay said in one of his last tweets that Clemens and Bonds do not deserve to get in because they use those drugs. Again, if it's a Hall of Fame, if you're having the entire history of the game, you do have to mention a guy who won so many MVPs, a guy who won so many Cy Youngs. You do have to mention them, but you do have to put them in context. So I personally would probably vote for Clemens and Bonds if I had the vote. But you have to be able to separate that kind of context. Larry Walker made a huge jump this year. The boy from Maple Ridge, BC, is up to 54.6% of the vote. People wanted to see him around 60 because they figured 60 would be a good baseline for him to jump. Now Walker has to kind of pick up 100 ballots to get in next year. He might do it just because the list of names that are making their first appearance on the ballot, it's pretty weak aside from that one guy who played shortstop in New York, who's wrecking things in Miami. So it's a good bump for him. It's a very sizable bump for Larry Walker. He gained 20% of the vote. So hopefully in his final season, he gets that kind of Edgar Martinez love. He gets like that Fred McGriff love and is able to get over that 75% threshold. McGriff obviously did not get enough in his final year on the ballot, got to 40%, the former Blue Jay. He'll probably get in for the Veterans Committee. Again, if they're going to put Harold Baines in there, they're going to let a guy like Fred McGriff in. So I wouldn't worry too much about the crime dog. I'm sure he's going to be getting his due in the Hall of Fame eventually. Omar Vizquel, another former Blue Jay. Yes, we can say that. He played one season for Toronto in 2012. Vizquel's up to 42.8%. I know Sean doesn't think Omar Vizquel is a Hall of Famer. I think defensively he does deserve credit for what he did, but he was never really a star. Like, this is kind of like putting in Minnie Minoso or one of those older shortstops. I could see it eventually, but I'm not going to be the person who votes for Omar Vizquel to go into the Hall of Fame. Jeff Kent, Scott Rowland, both former Blue Jays, hovering around 17%. With Jeff Kent, it's not looking like he's going to have enough energy to get up to the point where he'll be in contention. And that may be because of the whole connection to Barry Bonds. I don't know if that's playing in with Kent, but he was also kind of prickly and, you know, Now he's more famous for being on Survivor. Scott Rowland being the metric starling that he is. You know, it was a decent jump up for him. We'll see if he continues to get that push just for what he did. He's kind of like Viscal. Now, I don't know if I would vote for Scott Rowland because I was never afraid of Scott Rowland coming up. I was afraid of Billy Wagner coming into the game. So I'd like to see Billy Wagner get more votes. He's up to about 16% as well. And Todd Helton got 16% in his first year on the ballot. I wonder if that's similar to Larry Walker, that the fact he played in Colorado is holding him back. But I think Helton deserves more credit for what he did in Colorado, and I'd like to see him start pushing up as well. Hopefully next year, with some of these other guys off the ballot, he'll start getting it. Also going to pour one out for Michael Young, who only 9 votes. I would have thought Michael Young would have gotten a little bit more than that. But Young, a career 300 hitter, is off the ballot. Also pour one out for former Blue Jay Darren Oliver and former Blue Jay Vernon Wells, neither of whom got up. Former Blue Jay Ted Lilly also did not get a vote. And I'm just going to mention Juan Pierre just because I think speed is a little underserved in the Hall of Fame. I would have liked to see Pierre in there just because he was so fast. He was one of the fastest players ever. Had 614 career stolen bases. I don't think those numbers are going to be approached anytime soon. So I would have liked to see Pierre get a little bit of consideration, but that's just me. Anyway, that about wraps up our Hall of Fame talk. We're going to have a couple of Blue Jays interviews right after this break. All right, so as promised, we are going to play a pair of interviews for you. We're going to have the Danny Jansen interview and the Ryan Borucki interview. A couple of short ones, that's why they're being included together. So just want to present them as is, and hopefully y'all enjoy. Here's Ryan Borucki.
How do you feel like being in Halifax today? Is it your first time?
It's my first time. It's pretty cool. It looks like it's a very historical city, a little older buildings, but it kind of gives me that Boston vibe, which is pretty cool, which I love. Boston's one of my favorite cities. So
Boston's known for its pubs. Are you going to try to get out tonight for any?
I think tomorrow we might be seeing some stuff. And what's the stuff you guys eat here?
Donair.
There you go. There you go. I want to try one. I'm very intrigued by that.
So a big year for you coming up. I think you're slotted probably number 3 at this point in the rotation. There's going to be a lot of young arms coming up as well. As various some new ones brought in. Apparently, might have been a signing overnight that we
David Phelps.
David Phelps. So how do you see the upcoming year and your role in terms of the trotting out there fourth or fifth day?
I mean, I'm just going in spring training, just like I'm trying to, like I was last year, just trying to make the team and just try to show my ability to be a starter and sustain being a starter. So hopefully this year when I'm pitching, hopefully I'm able to just do my job like I did last year, keep our team in the ball game, get a lot of ground balls, and yeah, that's basically it.
But how big is your performance last year in terms of confidence?
Confidence-wise, it was good. It's good. It definitely a good September helped me have that confidence going into the offseason and bringing into 2019. But yeah, it should be interesting. I'm excited to get back and get with the boys and start playing again.
Now, pitching in the major leagues is one thing, but people talk about pitching in the American League East. Talk a bit about that. Does it do something to your head a little bit when you have to face the lineups?
You just got to focus a little bit more. Obviously, when you're facing the Red Sox and Yankees, I faced them 5 times last year, and when you face those kind of lineups, you can't really put any hitters off. So it's definitely a mental grind. You definitely, after you get done, you're definitely mentally exhausted because you got to be facing those guys all the time. But it's fun. It's fun. If your stuff can play in that league or in that division, it can play anywhere.
Are you changing your approach now that you know you're going to be a member of the major league team this season as opposed to previous seasons?
No, just really, I'm just, biggest thing, you just got to keep doing what got you there. I'm preparing the same way as I always did in the off season. Doing my throwing program now, I'm going to start throwing bullpens here soon. But yeah, I haven't really changed anything. Still have that same mentality and just hopefully I have that for the rest of my career.
Do trips like this make you think, wow, I have like a whole country behind me, not just a city where we are just, you know, where
Yeah, it's cool. Where I come from Chicago, so the town is definitely divided, the city is divided. So I'm not used to having just at like more regular teams have maybe one whole state, but we have a whole country. So I got to pitch in Seattle last year and just seeing all the West Coast fans and the support we had there. And it was a night that I'll remember for the rest of my life. It was amazing.
Yeah, your brother has endeared himself very well to Blue Jays Twitter. Is there anything that the fans should know about your brother in case they need to use it?
I don't want to out him on any secrets, but I mean he just does it because he cares so much about me, and I really the support system I have with my family is just I couldn't ask for anything more.
Awesome,
thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there we go. Like I said, short and sweet. I'm glad I did get that shout out for his brother in there. You're welcome for that, Matt. Now, as promised, here is his battery mate for the upcoming season. Here is Danny Jansen.
No problem. So, was this your first time in Halifax?
Yep. This am I coming up a little bit?
Sorry, I jumped the gun.
This is my first time ever being on the east side of Canada at all. So, more east than Toronto, that is. So, yeah, first time in Halifax, and it's pretty. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
What do you plan to do? What are you waiting to do?
Stoked to go to the Children's Hospital and then the next day we're going to, where we got like a camp, or we're going to a military thing or something like that. So we'll be outdoors and all that, and get to see the countryside a little bit. So looking forward to it.
What do you hope to share with people while you're here?
Yeah, I just hope to share. I mean, it's awesome just to interact with people and to really just. Hope to maybe inspire if I get a chance to, or, you know, talk to fans and all that stuff. And that's really what it's about. So looking forward to that.
What are you thinking about the year ahead when you look at the upcoming season right now? New manager, your thoughts?
Yeah, stoked about it. I mean, it's we're definitely a new regime and, you know, new staff. I got the chance to meet Dave Hudgens, our bench coach, for a little bit. And he's an awesome guy. So really, really looking forward to that. And talked to Charlie a little bit on the phone, and really looking forward to the new season and a lot of young guys coming up, and I'm just grateful for an opportunity just to fight for a chance and just to be there.
This is a chance for some fresh pair of eyes to take a look at you.
Yeah.
You feel like that?
Yeah, there's pressure or anything like that. You know, I'm just going to go do what I've been doing and just be Danny Jansen, just be myself. So even though there is fresh pair of eyes and you want to do impress, but just got to just stay in yourself and be yourself.
I know a lot of the fans, when you were first called up, were really excited to get a chance to see you in the major league level. How did you feel getting that call up from Buffalo?
It was a feeling that I've never experienced before. It was just a lot of emotions. I remember I got it. It was during the middle of a game, and I remember I went right to my phone and called my mom and dad and shared some tears with them. And then, next thing you know, I'm on a car to Toronto and then on a flight to Kansas City. And, having the chance to debut there in front of my family and get that first hit and first home run out of the way. I mean, it's a feeling that I'm never, ever going to forget.
A lot of turnover in the offseason. So any concerns with, I know Tulowitzki left, new manager and stuff, but how do you feel maybe opening day bugs or jitters in the system?
I don't think so. I think everybody's just excited overall. And like I said, there's, you know, new staff, new regime. So everybody's looking to just, you know, get on the right step right away. And I think it's going to be very exciting.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thanks. Have a good time. Thank you.
There you go. That is Danny Jansen. Couple Northern boys who did pretty well in the cold in Halifax. A lot better than the other two gentlemen who we will be hearing from in upcoming episodes of the Locked On podcast, which, you know, we're at the end of this episode. So if you have any comments or anything on the topics we discussed today, if you want to let me know what you think about the Hall of Fame, and whether or not it's stupid, or just want to take more pot shots at Harold Baines like everyone else is, be sure to follow me on Twitter at NeoAC18. That's NeoAC18. You can follow this podcast on there as well at Locked On Jays. Give us a like on Facebook. And, you know, if you're not subscribed to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, why not do that and give us a rate and review and help us, you know, slowly conquer the world of podcasting one earbud at a time. You know, every little bit helps. So we're inching ever closer to world domination. Just need your help to get there. So again, thank you all for listening to today's episode. For everyone here at the Locked On Podcast Network and at Locked On Blue Jays, I'm Ryan Andrews. Thank you all so much for listening to today's episode, and y'all take care.